Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the show. It is Denise. Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It is June 7th, and we are going to be chatting WWE NXT 2.0, the fallouts from In Your House this past weekend. This was a fairly good episode of NXT. I thought it was solid top to bottom. There was so much that I loved on this show. I would say I loved probably 98% of the show. That's pretty damn good. So I cannot wait to get into the episode. But before we get started, I do want to thank you all so much for tuning into the show, coming in to hang out with me for the next couple of minutes, or not really minutes, a little bit more than a couple of minutes. Y'all know how this goes. But before we get started, just to let you guys know, this is an interactive show. Send in your comments in the chat box. You guys know how all this stuff works. I'm not even going to get into all of that. We do got some interesting things to talk about here today, one of which is already being brought up a lot here on the comments here, and it is about Apollo Crews. A lot of people happy that he is there at NXT. We'll talk about that more in just a second, but let's go ahead and get right into this show because it was a good one. We're going to kick things off with Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams opening up the show. So first of all, Carmelo Hayes is NXT North American champion once again. I gotta tell you, I'm a little surprised by that. When I saw the results for the show, I thought, holy shit, man, like this is, I thought it was a little bit crazy because now keep in mind, so I didn't get to watch the show. So when I read the results, I was very, very surprised by it, mainly because Carmelo Hayes was a really good NXT North American champion, and then Cameron Grimes won the title, and Cameron Grimes has been doing I would say a fairly good job as NXT North American champion. It's not like so much happened during his reign, but he's still a really good wrestler, so no matter what, it was going to be enjoyable. So it makes me wonder, like, what is going to be going on with Cameron Grimes as of right now? Like, what is his future in NXT 2.0 look like, if there's a future in NXT 2.0? Is he going to be going to the main roster? What's going to be happening? I think the fact that they took the belt off of him makes me wonder what is going on with the future of Cameron Grimes, mainly because I still think that there could have been a lot more done with him as NXT North American champion. And then for them to give it back to Carmelo Hayes, I kind of feel like I don't feel like Carmelo Hayes is going to be holding the title very long. I have a feeling he's going to be a transitional champion, and this is going to be all to lead up to Solo Sikoa becoming NXT North American champion, because that's the direction that I feel like they're heading in right now. But regardless, you guys already know that I'm a big fan of Carmelo Hayes, man. Even just today when he was on the mic and cutting this like very, he's a heel, so he's going to be cutting this heel promo, and he's talking about how, well, Trick Williams kicks things off by saying that all is right in the world once again because Carmelo Hayes is the NXT North American champion. Then Carmelo starts saying how he's the person that everybody there aspires to be, how he basically buries the crowd and says they all can't be like Carmelo Hayes, and Carmelo Hayes is like the top and this and that. Anyways, during this, I was just sitting back thinking like, man, Carmelo Hayes is so good. Like, we already know he's good in the ring, but on the mic, he's very good. Even when he was a babyface and he was promoting himself, and he was the, I think he was calling himself the A Show or something like that. No matter if he's a babyface or if he's a heel, I kind of like him a little bit more as a heel right now, just because I feel like he cuts these good promos, like putting himself over, and I like that. So I like what he's been bringing to the mic, especially here tonight, but he's done a lot of other good stuff regardless. So I did want to put that over. Solo Sikoa comes out and he says, you know, being champion should be a little less talking and a little bit more fight. And then he starts talking about how he's next for the championship. Okay, the crowd is super behind him, but then we get Grayson Waller. Grayson Waller comes out. He does his thing. He buries the crowd. He starts saying how the crowd doesn't have any friends, and mentions that that's why Solo's name is Solo, because he also doesn't have any friends. And he buries his family lineage, saying that he shouldn't get a shot at the NXT North American Championship just because of his family lineage. So that's kind of what Grayson Waller touched on. So the crowd's really behind Solo Sikoa. It feels like the company, it feels like the people making decisions at NXT 2.0 are really behind Solo Sikoa as well. So It's going to, I'm expecting him to be NXT North American champion pretty, pretty soon. Now, we'll talk about the main event. We'll just get into the main event now since it goes along with this story and I don't want to like skip around too much. So let's go ahead and hop into the main event because it pertains to this actual opening of the show. So this match was supposed to be it was supposed to be Carmelo Hayes and Grayson Waller versus Solo Sikoa in a handicap match. But then it ended up being that Apollo Crews ended up being the partner of Solo Sikoa. And we're going to talk more about Apollo Crews in just a second because that goes into another portion of the show. So there's a lot here to talk about. But this ended up being a tag team match. And all I got to say right now is that freaking Apollo Crews looks like he was very, very hyped to be there, and he looked like he was having the time of his life. Like, I watch Raw, you know, I've seen him on Raw, I've seen him on SmackDown, you know, now for years, right? And I don't, like, the last time that I think he looked this pumped was probably before he went to SmackDown and became champion. When he was on Raw, he was having a couple of good back-to-back matches. Then he went to SmackDown, he became champion. It was pretty decent. But then they did this whole, like, they did this whole thing with him as a, I think he was like a Nigerian prince or something, whatever. And he was coming out with the Commander Aziz. And then everything just got a little bit too cartoonish there. And then after that, things kind of went a little bit downhill for Apollo Crews. He hasn't really been doing much as of late. I kind of forgot that he was even on the roster, whatever. So what I'm trying to get at is this feels like he's actually might be a little bit excited about this opportunity of him being in NXT. And I want to talk about that a little bit more. But before I get to Apollo Crews and how he came out, this was funny, though. In the main event, there was this comment by commentary where they said, this is a different Apollo Crews. This is different from what we've seen before. He looks motivated. And I thought to myself, oh my God. I kind of thought that it was funny that commentary mentioned that because given the fact that, like I just said, Apollo Crews has not really looked all that great on the main roster in the last couple, like maybe like the last year. And then for them to say like, oh, he looks motivated. It's like suggesting he wasn't motivated on the main roster, you know, that sort of thing. But either way, it was a really, really good main event. Solo Sikoa and Apollo Crews worked well as a team. They both brought a lot of energy. So this was fun. I like this, sure. But let's go back and talk a little bit more about some of the other stuff that happened. But before I get to that, we're going to get these comments in here and then we'll probably skip into the Apollo Crews and how he came into NXT 2.0 for those of you guys who might be confused. But let's see what people are saying here. Zeno Hour says, The CWC treated Apollo like a star. He felt fresh. He did. He felt exciting. It was one of those things when I was watching the main event, I thought, man, this is a guy that I've been seeing with Commander Aziz doing all these hokey cartoonish stuff the last couple of months. Like, that's the thing that I've been noticing about the CWC too, is that whenever they get somebody from the main roster, they tend to react in a very like, oh my God, like they treat everybody like they're the biggest star ever. Like that's kind of like the reception the CWC gives to some of the people that aren't technically like big, big stars. Like when AJ Styles went down there. Okay, that was an appropriate reaction, right? Because AJ Styles is a big star. But there were some other ones where I'm like, okay, the reaction was definitely above the star level of the person that came out. So that's one of the things that I have noticed about the CWC, which in a way is good because like, why not? You know, like it's their job. Like, well, no, that sounds really bad. It's not their job. But I mean, like if they're going to these shows religiously, because I'm sure a lot of those people are, they're literally like, that's the home base of NXT 2.0. So how they react to what they're putting on is going to basically influence a lot of the people that are watching back home. How the CWC reacts is going to catch on with how, you know, the people on the TV react. We got Cameron Mumford. By the way, Cameron Mumford, happy late birthday. Cameron Mumford had his birthday just a couple of days ago. A happy late birthday. I hope you saw my message. I'm not sure if you did. But anyways, Cameron says, this is the thing. When NXT call-ups returning to NXT and it's relevant with Apollo, NXT is a rejuvenation for these guys getting dragged down on the main roster. And it's a beautiful thing. See, here's the thing. And let's get into this, guys, because this is going to have to tie in. So basically, this is how they brought in Apollo Crews to NXT 2.0. Bron Breakker was out there cutting a promo on his match that he had with Joe Gacy. And he was basically saying how Joe Gacy made a lot of things personal, but no matter what, he was not going to be taking the title away from him. He starts talking about how NXT is so special to him. And then out of nowhere, Apollo Crews music hits and he comes down to the ring and he agrees with Bron Breakker. And he basically says like, yes, this place is special. I was in NXT once before, but I left a little too soon. And there are still things that I want to accomplish. And then he says that he left with unfinished business from NXT. He says that down the line, he and Bron Breakker could essentially make history and they shake hands. So that was how they introduced Apollo Crews to this. Now, going back to that comment that we got from Cameron about this being a sort of rejuvenation for certain people that may not be doing much on the main roster. For example, like Natalia was doing a couple of things on the main roster. She was, you know, tag team champion consistently on there. But for the most part, like, she wasn't necessarily like maybe like a top star, right? So she went down to NXT. She did the stuff with Cora Jade. That worked out very nicely. Okay, cool. You had Dolph Ziggler who went down to NXT and did that stuff with Bron Breakker. That was, you know, hit or miss. Some people liked it, some people didn't. I was on the didn't side because I didn't like how they were hot potatoing the bout. But whatever, that's not the argument here today. The point is that you have these people go down to NXT and make appearances. Like, I don't hate it because I do think that it gives them a little something to do that is, you know, possibly different. For example, the Viking Raiders. The Viking Raiders was just down there with the Creed brothers. That's another one. Little things like that, I think, spice up NXT 2.0, and it might get some people that are still hesitant to check out NXT 2.0. It might get them to check it out. I don't know so much about, like, Apollo Crews, but when Dolph Ziggler was there, possibly. When AJ Styles was there, definitely. Like, here's the thing. When AJ Styles went down there, I felt like he was too big of a star to be down in NXT 2.0. I felt he was too big of a star and shouldn't have necessarily, he wouldn't have been my first pick to go down there just because I feel like certain people you have to treat differently. Dolph Ziggler going down there, I thought was perfectly fine because he's gonna, you know, he's been with the company so long. He's gonna bring this level of, you know, respect and credibility regardless. So him going down to NXT 2.0 is gonna be exciting for, you know, a couple of people, for his fan base, whatever, right? But here's my thing though. With Apollo Crews, like, yes, this is a rejuvenation and I'm so glad. But here's the thing though, when you have guys that were like Apollo Crews that aren't necessarily top stars on the main rosters and they're kind of like jobbers, you know, most of the time, right? I kind of feel like having them then come out on NXT 2.0 and challenge, like, or go after like the NXT championship or get involved with the NXT champion, I kind of feel like it lessens it a little bit. So I'm not like too crazy. Like, I can kind of see it. I see it from both sides. Like, I like it, but then there's part of me that's like, I feel like there has to be an in-between. There has to be an in-between, like an AJ Styles and an Apollo Crews. Dolph Ziggler was one of them, except he didn't need the NXT championship. So I feel like the people that go down and get involved with the NXT champion, period, they need to be people that like bring up the champion. And I can't think of a good example right now. If somebody else has a good example of somebody that could probably fill in this type of position where I want to see somebody go in there and have matches with Bron Breakker, have a feud with Bron Breakker where like it's going to be good and it's going to put over the NXT champion. Who knows? Maybe Apollo Crews could be that guy. But I do kind of feel like I feel happy for him. I'm excited for him, but I do wish that maybe it was somebody that had just a little bit more credibility, I guess you would say, on the roster to go and have them go in there and get involved with the NXT champion. Because how you treat people or how you portray people on the main roster is not going to be forgotten about just because they went to NXT 2.0. Like, I'm not going to forget how things have been pretty hokey with Apollo Crews and Commander Aziz prior. Like, I'm not going to forget that that happened when they go down to NXT 2.0. You get what I'm saying here. So that's kind of what I feel about this. Okay, Xeno Hour actually throws in Ricochet. Ricochet is a good one. Thank you so much for sending in Ricochet. I think Ricochet would be like a really good person to kind of go in that spot too. I mean, but they kind of treat him like a jobber too. But at least he's a, you know, recent former champion. Okay, whatever. YT says R-Truth. Hey, man, R-Truth has won the 24/7 championship how many times? Like over 40 times or something? Hey, maybe you can brag about that. I don't know. Let's see what else we got here. Brandon Rosenson's in a super chat saying, I hope that this is a long-term deal for Apollo Crews and that he's not back at NXT just to put other guys over. I want to see him have some success too. He could have success too, helping put over guys like Bron Breakker, guys. Like, just because he's not, like, I'm not expecting him to become NXT champion. Like, I'm not expecting that to happen. I don't think that should happen because you shouldn't be taking off the title off of Bron Breakker. They shouldn't have done it with Dolph Ziggler, and they shouldn't be doing it with Apollo Crews either. But he can have success in NXT, you know, just helping put over Bron Breakker. I do think he can have success in that because then people will see him differently. Like, you got to start seeing, like, you got to see him differently because if all I, like, my recent memory of Apollo Crews is everything that he did with Commander Aziz, it's like I'm still seeing him in that light, right? Today was the first step not to see him in that light anymore because that main event match was pretty fun. So if you have him in there with Bron Breakker and, you know, they have a pretty kick-ass feud and they do something fun, it'll all of a sudden, like, it'll maybe change the perception that some of the people, like myself included, that have of, like, the perception they have of Apollo Crews, right? So I do think that even if he doesn't go down there and win the NXT championship, because I do not think he should be winning the NXT championship, but, you know, going down there and having a program with Bron Breakker is a win within itself. On top of that, though, it does kind of point a light, though, to how they may not have people that they find suitable on NXT 2.0 to compete against Bron Breakker, which is interesting because I do think that they could get creative and watch. Hold on one second. I need to look at this freaking roster here because I feel like it's almost telling, though, when you have to bring in other guys, you know, like Dolph Ziggler, etc., now Apollo Crews, when you bring them down to NXT 2.0 to feud with your NXT champion, excuse me, it does kind of feel like there aren't very many other options for challengers for Bron Breakker on NXT 2.0. So they got to keep building these guys because the last, like the Joe Gacy stuff, like bless his heart, he was super great in my interview and all of that. But like, it wasn't really, you know, a home run of a feud, you know, it didn't really feel like, you know, the majority of the people actually enjoyed it. So they need to get people that can go out there and have these exciting feuds with the NXT champion. Right. And I'm looking at this, I'm looking at the roster right now, and I do think like Cameron Grimes would have been a really good one. Carmelo Hayes, a good one too. And I get it. They're kind of like waiting for their turns, but I still think that they can go up and have, you know, like matches with the champion and tell good stories and get new talent, like, you know, get them to like these higher peaks. Instead of just always having certain talent only focus on the NXT North American Championship. So Cameron Grimes is a good one. Carmelo Hayes is a good person, I think. Duke Hudson has the potential too. They just need to really rework and rewire certain things with Duke Hudson. And then let's see who else we got here that could be good. I was going to say Fabian Aichner is this new character, Giovanni, but we'll have to see what they do with him on that end of things. Grayson Waller, they kind of already touched around that. Let me see who else they got. Hold on one second. I'm going through the roster. Odyssey Jones is still out. Santos Escobar is doing his whole thing with Tony D'Angelo. So that's not really an option. Solo Sikoa could become an option. And that's kind of it. Like Von Wagner's not over enough. I mean, I guess they can do a program with him and Bron Breakker, but not very many people are going to care. So I think it'll be along the same lines of what they were doing with Joe Gacy, like in terms of like the crowd and interest in it. But that's it, guys. Like Zion Quinn, he's there too, but he's not, he's just been having like whatever matches. So there aren't very many options for Bron Breakker as like to have challenger. So they have to bring in people like Apollo Crews to do something there. All right, so let's go ahead and see what people are saying about here. Let's see. Cadillac Carson says Omos can do it. Okay, I'll stop now. Y'all are too much. All right, so let's go ahead and move on from here. And really quickly, let me just send one second, guys. Hold on. I just need to send a quick message here. Sorry, guys. All right, quick message that I had to send like right now. I couldn't wait. I had to send it right now. All right, so moving on from here. Let's get into, let's go rewind back up to the top here. So let's get into Von Wagner versus Josh Briggs. So this was a pretty okay little match that they had here. Both of the guys, they started out by like slugging each other, lots of rights and lefts between Von Wagner and Josh Briggs. Josh Briggs is a pretty big guy too, so I kind of liked this exchange between Von Wagner and Josh Briggs because Josh Briggs is also a big guy like Von Wagner. And I think that, like, I feel bad, but Von Wagner hasn't necessarily been like hitting the mark in terms of like pop. Like, he hasn't really gotten over like as a heel or as a babyface. He's kind of just been there. But for the most part, I found myself somewhat interested in what he was doing today with Josh Briggs. So that works out good. I liked this. I liked the finish. More particularly, I liked the finish. I didn't want to see Von Wagner defeat Josh Briggs. Briggs ended up using the cast that Jensen had, the arm cast. He uses that to hit Von Wagner. And then afterwards, he clotheslines Von Wagner and gets the win. So I thought that was pretty good. It was a nice little victory for Josh Briggs. And like, I just think there's a little bit more upside to Josh Briggs right now. So I'm glad that they actually gave him the win here. All righty. So let's go ahead and get into the rest of it here. Also, before we continue on, friendly reminder, if you are new to this channel, to F4W Online, friendly reminder, click that subscribe button. I haven't reminded you guys in a bit, so please do. Chances are, if you're already here, you're a subscriber. So make sure you guys subscribe. We are on our way to 100,000 subscribers. Be part of that. Click that subscribe button. And now let's go ahead and get into Nathan Frazier versus Santos Escobar. So Legado del Fantasma is now essentially under the orders of Tony D'Angelo and two Dimes and Stacks, his two guys. Okay. So this was really pretty freaking funny. I loved this. I loved everything about this. So I said this on our last show, and I got to say it again, guys. Santos Escobar and everything that they're doing with Tony D'Angelo and their guys has legitimately been one of my favorite things on NXT 2.0. I've put over like the storytelling, the skits, all of that. I think that Santos and Tony kind of have this really good chemistry with one another. And so I feel like they are doing a they're doing a good job, guys. Like, shit, they're doing a good job. I'm digging it. Anyways, and now I'm starting to like how Tony D'Angelo's like bossing around Santos Escobar. They had this like backstage segment where he's like having him get out of his suit to go and wrestle a match. He's like telling the other members of Legado del Fantasma like to go and do like, you know, errands and whatnot. I love that. I especially love it because all of Santos Escobar's facial expressions have been pretty freaking hilarious. Like, he just looks so irritated. He has the Fucci face going. If you do not know what the Fucci face is, it's literally just this, like that. I love it. I freaking love it. So we got Nathan Frazier versus Santos Escobar. Tony D'Angelo is on commentary. And now I need Tony D'Angelo on commentary all the time. And the reason I say that is there was a moment where Santos Escobar had a rest hold on Nathan Frazier. And Tony D'Angelo was like, "This is boring. This is boring. Do something. Do something." If I could have Tony D'Angelo on Raw or on SmackDown saying, "This is boring. Do something," whenever we have a bunch of rest holds, I will take it. But either way, this is a really good match. I freaking loved it. So Nathan Frazier, honestly, he's been impressive thus far. Ever since he's come into NXT 2.0 is where I started getting familiar with his work. He has been very impressive, and he's gotten over with the CWC audience. He has like a style that, you know, is exciting. He's doing all these high flying moves. Like, how is it not exciting, right? So he goes into this match with Santos Escobar, and, you know, he's doing all this high-flying stuff. The speed that this guy has in the ring is really freaking great. The guy moves so freaking fast. And on top of that, he's just energetic. Everything that he does, it's exciting. And there was even a moment where, like, he even takes, like, Santos Escobar's, like, breath away. I thought that was pretty cool. We have a beautiful, and I mean beautiful, dive to the outside of the ring from Santos Escobar. Freaking love that. I love the way that Nathan got out of the surfboard. That was really good. I love seeing him run the ropes and then doing a crossbody onto Santos Escobar. I was a fan of that. Tony's guys want Santos to use a crowbar and to cheat in his victory. Santos Escobar throws it back. This ends up costing him the match. The decision not to use the crowbar ends up costing him the match. Nathan ends up hitting a twisting 450 and ends up getting the win. So I love this. This continues to further the drama between Tony and Santos Escobar. It put over Nathan Frazier. It gave him this massive win over Santos Escobar. He continues to get over with the crowd, getting over with me as well. I was a fan of this. So thumbs up on both of this here. All right, so let's go ahead and see what people are saying. Thoughts on Nathan Frazier, Santos Escobar. Thoughts on Santos Escobar, Tony D'Angelo. Let's go ahead and see what people are saying here. And let's get some comments. This is from King of Hueca Mundo, who says, Tony D'Angelo is way over. We got Mohamed, who says Nathan versus Santos was such good shit. Let's see what else we got. We got Kyler saying this is the best thing in NXT. I completely agree with you on that as well. Cadillac says Tony D said the word wrestle, which is apparently banned word in WWE, or maybe wrestler is the banned word. I don't even know anymore, guys. I have so many banned words, I can't remember them all. Let's see what else we got here. And this is from David Ortiz in regards to the Apollo Crews thing. He says, you can't expect someone who is not over, who is ice cold right now, to elevate or put over developmental talent when Apollo is not over himself. Yeah, I agree with that. I completely agree with that. Yep, that's a good way of putting it. And let's get some more comments in here and see what people are saying. This is from Saul, who says, I always do my Italian mobster accent for the rest of the night after a Tony D segment. I love what they're doing. Christopher says, the storyline between Tony D Group and Legado del Fantasma is good right now. Completely agree. One of the highlights of, I would say it's like up there with some of the best storytelling that they're doing in WWE in general. And I know people don't talk about it because people don't talk about NXT 2.0. There's like only a handful of us that are still left watching NXT 2.0. So I almost feel like it's this small group of people that actually know and feel like the storyline is good. But we'll see. We'll see. All right, moving on from here. After this, we got the, we already talked about the Bron Breakker promo. So let's get into the Joe Gacy stuff. So Joe Gacy is with his, I don't forgot what he calls them, but I'm just going to call them his two creepers. He got his two creepy dudes on the side, right? They got their hoods. I forgot what he calls them, whatever. So he's going off and he's doing this promo. He's saying how they have made great strides, that people don't understand their message, and that their message is way more important than symbols and worldly possessions. But my question is, what is the message? What is the message of Joe Gacy? I don't even know the message, whatever, but we're supposed to know the message because the message is greater than championships, than symbols, than this and that. It's greater than, right? Okay, fine. Basically, what we get from this is that Joe Gacy is going to be introducing a new team. They're going to be an extension of him, which means he's going to be managing these two guys. And next week, they are going to be competing for the first time. And I think he's calling them the Dyad or something. The Dyad, whatever. That's what he's calling them. So Gacy looks like he's going to be taking on more of a managerial role, which is kind of what we were seeing with him and freaking Harland. We were seeing that. And I figured, okay, once Harlan gets a little bit better, the focus is going to be taken away from Joe Gacy and focus on Harlan. But things ended up switching up, and now Harlan is, you know, gone. So that's not a thing anymore. So now it looks like they've shifted directions, and instead he's going to be managing this team, the Dyad, the Giant. That's who he's going to be. That's who he's going to be managing. Cool. I'm here for that. Mohamed says he called them the Creepers. Let's see what else we got. Cadillac Carson says he called them the Dyad, but his two Creepers is better. He should just call them the two Creepers. That's it. I'm good with that. And yes, the Creepers are going to wrestle next week. They're totally going to wrestle the week. All righty. But before we go ahead and continue on with the show, because we do got a couple more items to touch base on, give me a second, ladies and gentlemen, to promote and show some love to WrestleRumble.com. WrestleRumble.com are the official sponsors of the Speak Now Pro Wrestling podcast. So as wrestling fans, we spend a lot of time talking about wrestling, predicting what is going to happen, and so on. Well, what if I told you you could do all of that and possibly make some real cold, hard cash? Well, turns out that you can. For all major pay-per-views or premium live events, you can head on over to WrestleRumble.com and answer prop questions, and you can win some money. Money, money, money. All you got to do is answer the prop questions, score some points, and you have a huge possibility of winning actual money. I mentioned this on one of my previous shows, but a person who entered, one of my followers who entered for AEW Double or Nothing actually won $1,000. Like, I'm not kidding you guys. He won $1,000. Anyways, once again, make sure to check out WrestleRumble.com. You never know. You guys can win some money too. And it's fun. Let's be real. It's fun. And you're going to be more invested in what you're watching because you're going to want whatever it is that you predicted to actually happen. So if you want to make your viewing experience a little extra special, once again, please check out WrestleRumble.com. Show them some love on Twitter and or Instagram at WrestleRumble. All righty. And now let's go ahead and go back to the show. All right. So let's go ahead and get into the finals of the NXT Women's Breakout Tournament. We had Roxanne Perez versus Tiffany Stratton. So first of all, I have a lot to say about this. All right. I'm going to start off with the story that they were telling here. The story here with Roxanne Perez and Tiffany Stratton is that they're both had two very different journeys to this point. Obviously, Tiffany Stratton was a last minute replacement into the breakout tournament, whatever. But the story is that she's made her way to WWE and things have, you know, fairly been easy for her, right? That she's been doing things on daddy's dime. Okay, and then Roxanne Perez, her whole thing is that like she dreamed, she worked hard, she finally made it. So they were kind of showing the two different routes that both of these women took to WWE. After this, there was a segment in which Tiffany refers to Roxanne Perez as a little girl and not a woman. Well, let me tell you guys, as a female, nothing is more savage, nothing is more embarrassing than another woman saying you are not a woman, calling you a little girl. Just because, you know, obviously Roxanne Perez, she's smaller in stature. She's just tinier, right? Like that's just who she is. She's just a petite girl. So I just got to say, as a fellow petite girl who has stood next to taller women and knows how it feels, you do kind of feel like a little girl when you're standing next to like more taller women. So when Tiffany Stratton straight out told Roxanne Perez, you're not a woman, but a little girl, I was like, damn, really good, very mean burial. Loved it. I love savage Tiffany Stratton. The more savage, the more mean, the more I am here for it. Please let her be mean. I'm here for that. Anyways, this match was really good. I want to start off by saying that so we did get to see Tiffany Stratton dominate Roxanne Perez for a bit here in this match, but I want to kind of talk a little bit about Tiffany because when she came in, we kind of saw that she was very athletic right off the bat. You know, we saw her do a lot of these, you know, gymnastic type of stuff that was she incorporated into her wrestling because that's, you know, a huge part of her background, right? But it was still like her timing was a little bit off. Like things weren't really like hit, you know, things weren't really looking so great, right, in the beginning. They weren't looking terrible, but they weren't looking great either. She was just so-so. Well, anyways, from the first day that we were introduced to Tiffany Stratton in NXT 2.0 to today, where she's doing this finals match with Roxanne Perez, and it really hasn't been that huge of a time period. But during that time period, we have seen a massive amounts of growth in Tiffany Stratton in terms of her in-ring skills. She has gotten a more crisp. Her execution is a lot better. Before, she used to do the her backflip that she does and into the back elbow, and it wasn't always perfect. Like, sometimes it was like all weird and loopy and this and that, right? She's doing that. Everything that she's doing is a lot more, she's a lot more in control, and she's incorporated it nicely into her wrestling, her gymnastics into her wrestling. And even today when she did that backflip with the back elbow, like, it looked really good. It looked great when she did the moonsault, beautiful moonsault. She goes for the moonsault. She does the moonsault, but Roxanne ends up moving out of the way, and she ends up hitting the Pop Rocks, and that's how Roxanne Perez ends up winning the actual match. But I loved it. I thought this was really good, and the right call was to have Roxanne Perez win. From the very beginning, I was out here saying this tournament was meant for Roxanne Perez. She's the favorite. She's the person that everybody's been rooting for, and oh my God, we love Roxanne and this and that. So we want to see her thrive, and her winning this tournament was really step one into her actually being able to do that. And so I was very happy to see her win, but I'm also very happy to see the growth in Tiffany Stratton. Like, she's usually become one of my favorite, like, women to watch on NXT 2.0. I'm very excited to see where she goes from here. Anyways, after this, Cora Jade celebrates with Roxanne Perez. We have Toxic Attraction come out. Mandy Rose starts going off on Roxanne, and she starts telling her how everything's going to go downhill from here. So I'm interested to see if she's actually going to challenge for the championship, or if she's going to challenge for the tag team titles. That I'm not completely sure, but we'll go ahead and see what they actually do with that. And let's see what we got here. This is a comment from Justin Martin, who says, Roxanne did plenty of breaking out before she got to WWE, so she didn't necessarily need it. However, it was absolutely the right call for Roxanne to win this tournament. She deserves it. Yeah, completely agree. I think she's already over. Like, Roxanne was already over with the people who had seen her work prior. But you got to understand, like, WWE is like a bigger beast. You know, there's going to be so many new people that do not know who Roxy was before. They now know her as Roxanne Perez, and they may not know anything else about her. So I do think that, like, she needed it, not for those fans that already knew what she can do, but she needed it to kind of, like, you know, have something to really, like, make her be like, okay, well, I already got step one. Step one is having people, like, a core group of people rooting for me on this brand. Step two is getting these new viewers. And how are you going to get these new viewers and these new fans to, you know, to embrace you? Well, becoming a force to be reckoned with on the roster. And how do you do that? Win this tournament. Get your name out there. So that's kind of how I feel about all of that. All right. So let's go ahead and see. Let's see what else we got all about this. We got Zeno Hour saying Roxy and Tiffany Stratton killed it tonight. Tiffany Stratton improvement is amazing. And then let's see what else we got here. We got Mahmed saying she made her debut 7 months ago. So yeah, that's not too long ago. Like, there's people that have been doing it for a lot longer and you don't see, like, massive growth. But we have been seeing it in Tiffany Stratton. All right, let's go ahead and move on from here. Let's see what we got. All right, so friendly reminder that the NXT Great American Bash will be airing on July 5th. That's going to be happening. We also had Andre Chase versus Pretty Deadly. This was the only portion of the show from NXT tonight that I didn't like, mainly because I didn't like how long Andre Chase actually lasted in this match with Pretty Deadly, because he didn't have Bodie Hayward with him. Bodie Hayward was taken out before the match. I think Pretty Deadly should have won a lot faster, so that's the reason why I wasn't too crazy about it. But in the end, we do end up seeing Pretty Deadly win. But I think this should have been a faster match. We shouldn't have gotten to the point where Bodie Hayward was out there crawling, trying to make it to the match. No, these are former NXT Tag Team Champions. They should have won this match like this, like super fast. All right, moving on from here, we got Alba Fyre versus Tatum Paxley. And this was an okay match. And it was funny, too, because after this, I immediately thought, like, man, so Alba Fyre wins with her swanton. It looked a little bit weird because I think Tatum moved or she didn't move. I don't know. It didn't look super great. Whatever. But it was still a good victory for Alba Fyre. But the first thing, like, what I was going to come out here and say was, oh man, like, you know, Alba Fyre is great and all, but she doesn't really have a story. Like, she needs a story. She needs a feud, right? She needs something to go down for her on the show. It's like, she's just going out there and she's having matches, but that's about it. There's nothing else to add to that. And I literally wrote that on my notes. And the second I, like, wrote that, all of a sudden we got this big boot from Lash Legend. She comes out and, like, big boots Alba Fyre right to the face. Looked pretty brutal. So now we know the direction where they're heading with this is Alba Fyre and Lash Legend. Okay, fine. Whatever. All right. So backstage, we got the Creed brothers talking about their championship wins. They are the brand new NXT tag team champions. I'm laughing because the belts look so incredibly tiny on the Creed brothers. It's pretty damn hilarious. But anyway, so Idris Idris Elba all the time. I want to say it. Idris and Malik, they come out and they basically tell the Creed brothers, like, hey man, we want a title shot. And the Creed brothers are like, all right, let's do it. Let's have a title shot. It's cool. So they're like friendly about it, right? And they say, yeah, awesome. So then Roderick Strong gets super pissed and is like, why the hell are you guys giving out title matches like it's freaking Christmas, right? So he's mad that they accepted the challenge. Fine, because we already know that they have beef. Cool. We got another promo for Giovanni Vinci. Yeah. Who's officially Fabian Aichner, and he's going to be making his debut next week. Cool. That's it. Oh, shit. Okay. And then, okay, because I already talked about the main event. And then afterwards, next week, they did announce Creed Brothers versus Idris and Malik for the title shot. And then we're also going to be getting Cora, Jade, Indy Hartwell, and Roxanne Perez are going to be teaming up to take on Toxic Attraction in a six-woman tag. Oh, man. Giovanni. Thank you, YT. Giovanni. I'm like, Giovanno? Giovanna? I know it's not Giovanna, but I'm like, what is it? Giovanni. Thank you. Thank you. All right. There you go. That was NXT 2.0 for you here today. Thank you guys so much, as always, for tuning in. I hope you guys had a good time. If you did, please let the people know about the show. Spread the word. Tell them, like, hey, I watch Speak Now Pro Wrestling with Denise Salcedo. It would really mean a lot to me. Tweet it out. Tag me. I'll retweet you anytime people promote my show. Always make sure to retweet them, because if you help me, then, you know, I just want to show back the favor. But either way, as always, I will be back tomorrow for AEW Dynamite coverage. And then I will be back here on Friday to chat SmackDown and Rampage. Thank you guys so much, as always. I'll see you all later. Bye, everyone.